To you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Sorry for the little bit late start again today, but we're a busy church. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let us pray. Father God, we just open our hearts and minds to you this morning. We are ready to receive your word, your strength, your power, your blessing. Lord, I just ask that you bless all those who couldn't be here today, and bless all those who are struggling with sickness right now. Father, we have a lot of people out with sickness, and we just lift them up to you right now and pray for healing, pray for peace. Lord, may you continue to, through your Holy Spirit, give us the strength, Father God, to proclaim your name, pray for others, and just spread the gospel in everything we do, just as Paul and Barnabas did. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, my sermon title today is Healed by the Living God. We're going to talk about some healing, and we're going to definitely talk about our living God. Amen? In last week's text, remember Paul and Barnabas, they were continuing on in their, what I like to call the Jesus Saves Synagogue Tour of year 48. All right? And they're at the city of Iconium once again, and they were initially well-received. They were initially well received, but the Jews who refused to believe would gather a mob. Remember that? And they would gather a mob together, and they would eventually try to kill them, right? Try to stone them to death for blasphemy. But Paul and Barnabas, they wouldn't be shaken. Amen? They weren't easily shaken, right? They wouldn't be shaken, and they would They would spend considerable time there after this, still speaking in God's name. Amen? And God would confirm their mission by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. We talked about that too. Gave them the power to perform signs and wonders in addition to the powerful messages they were already giving. And so as Paul and Barnabas found out about this murderous plot to kill them, they would escape to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and they would begin that visit in our text today with the miraculous, wonderful sign of healing. Amen? And hence my sermon title, okay? Speaking of healing, there was a survey conducted by the American Academy of Family Physicians that showed that 99%, I like 99%, I like that number, 99% of doctors believe a relationship exists between faith and healing. Amen? Between faith and healing. Recently, more than 1,000 healthcare professionals met at the Harvard Medical School to examine the connection between spirituality and healing. Okay? Doctors' faith in faith was bolstered by a California study of the effect of prayer on recovery. They started out with heart problems, okay? Prayer on the recovery of heart problems. They said about 200 heart patients were assigned to Christians who would pray for them. Okay? 200 people assigned to Christians who would pray for them, while another equal number of people, a control group, received no prayers at all. Okay? 200 got prayers, 200 didn't. Neither group knew about the prayers, yet those who received prayer developed half the complications that were experienced by those who didn't receive prayer. Amen? And nobody knew about it, right? So this was their study. A similar study by the Dartmouth Medical School examined the effect of prayer on healing when patients prayed for themselves. Okay, so they did a study, and they said the death rate 6 months after heart bypass surgery was 9% for the general population, but only 5% for those who had prayed for their own healing. So we've got another 4 points there, right? 4%. And none of the deeply religious patients died during the period of the study. God is good. Amen? Amen. Powerful, powerful prayers. You see, faith has the power to heal. That's the point, right? Faith has the power to heal. And if you have been at this church long enough, you know, and you've witnessed that, right? You witnessed that, right? Faith healing, the laying on of hands. That's why we had a late start with the service today, because we were praying for Christina, and we had, you know, 40 people up here laying hands on her and praying for her. Amen. That's exactly what we're going to to witness in the first few verses today, right? A miraculous healing as Paul and Barnabas arrived and they would begin to preach in Lystra. And then they would begin to do this healing. So our first verse says, in Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and he had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed, and he called out. He told him, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Miracle. Amen? Isn't that amazing, right? I say, if you want to be a famous preacher in a new town, show up performing miracles of healing, right? On the first day, you shouldn't have any problem gaining popularity. Amen? And it doesn't say that they were in the synagogue yet. Matter of fact, some say there was no synagogues in that town yet. So I would assume that this was some, like we talked about last week, some kind of dangerous street preaching they were doing. Amen? Street preaching, yeah. So, but they notice this lame man out in the crowd. They notice the lame man in the crowd. And this man would stand out because, not because of his affliction, right? But because of the faith that Paul saw in the eyes of this man, right? The faith he saw in the eyes of a man who had believed and received the message they delivered. Amen? He believed and received the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And Paul noticed that. He saw it in his face. He saw that the man had faith. And God gave Paul the discernment, and he told that man to stand up on his feet. Amen? He said, stand up on your feet. And the verse concludes by saying the man listened, he jumped up, and he started walking. And it was a miracle. Amen? But Paul knew because the Lord had given him a discernment to see that that man believed he could walk. Now, does this sound familiar? It should, because it's almost the same exact scenario that Peter had at the gate called Beautiful. Remember that? When the healing that he did, when the man got up and started to walk. This was a miraculous healing of a local man who everybody knew was crippled. Everybody knew he was crippled, and this amazing event was going to have it was an amazing thing, but it was going to have a strange impact on the people who witnessed this event as well. Okay? And we're going to get into that, because it says in verse 11, it says, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, they said, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Right? The people were so impressed by this miraculous healing that they did, they thought Paul and Barnabas were some Greek gods, right? And I think I got a picture of the gods here. Go one more. So there's Hermes. He was the messenger of the gods. And there's Zeus. He was the leader of all the gods, right? So they thought Paul and Barnabas were these Greek gods. They thought Paul was Hermes because he was a messenger. Because he was the primary preacher, right? Paul was the one preaching the word, and he did most of the speaking. And Barnabas, they thought Barnabas was Zeus because Barnabas was still kind of the leader, right? He still kind of led the way, even though Paul was starting to take over. It appeared that he was the leader. So they thought that the gods had come down. That's the point, okay? The gods had come down to them in human form because of the miracle that they had performed. Right? If it was going to be a miracle, they thought it must have been the gods. But also because of an old local legend that they had in that region. Okay? And that's why they put this in here. And in Greek mythology, they would say that the gods would come down to earth in human form to interact with humans. But of course, it was rarely a good thing. The gods were all about themselves. Amen? So they would come down, and they'd usually come down just to cause trouble, according to the legend, okay? So there was a legend about Zeus and Hermes who would come down to the city of Lystra, and they were looking for a party, looking for a good time, amen? And they started asking around, who's going to host us tonight? Who's going to host us? Who's going to help us have a good time here? And nobody would entertain them. Nobody would show them hospitality except for one old couple that was in the town. All right? One old couple that was in the town, and they would show them kindness. So Zeus and Hermes were mad at the rest of the town, and they would wipe out the whole city. They'd kill everybody. Amen? Wipe out the whole city, everyone except this one old couple that helped them out. And the legend says that they would get a wish for helping them. And so they gave them a wish. They gave them a wish, and their wish was that they could die together. And their wish came true, and they got to die together in old age. But remember, it's all just a legend, okay? It's not true. Don't tell people that Pastor Robert believes in Zeus and Hermes and all the Greek gods. Amen? It's not real. There was no Zeus and gods of the Olympus. Just like there was no blasphemous Dionysus like the one depicted at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Amen? Which should have been boycotted by every true Christian who saw the mockery being made of the Last Supper as well. I don't care what anybody says. That's what it was. Not to mention the appearance of golden calves. You guys know what that means? You guys know why they would have that at the Olympics? I don't either, but I know that means idol worship. I know that much. Amen? So this is what drove the opening ceremony of the 2024 Olympics. Amen? And that's what made, make no mistake, it was all a blasphemous, woke ideology. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it was. And it ruined the Olympic Games. It ruined it. I love watching the Olympics. But after that, I couldn't do it. I couldn't watch it. You know? And, you know, so they ruined the Olympic Games. But the point is, God doesn't play games. Amen? God doesn't play games. But I digress. We'll get on to the text here. And so the legend of these two gods, okay, the legend, left quite an impression on these Gentile Greeks. And when they thought that Zeus and Hermes had come down, they immediately made it the national be nice to Zeus and Hermes day, right? Because they didn't want to get taken out like the legend says the gods took out their whole city. Amen? So they would treat them like gods. And this was all done and said in a language that they didn't understand. So they just liked the fact that they were being treated good. But when the guys started bringing out sacrifices, that's when they realized what was going on. Amen? And that's when they started to sacrifice right in front of the apostles, and they figured it out. And it says in verse 14, but when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they're sacrificing. They tore their clothes and they rushed out in the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." And so the apostles would say to them, "Don't do that," right? "Don't do that. We're only human just like you." And they would tear their clothes. Maybe just to show that, you know, we're humans, right? Our clothes tear. We're not gods. We're just ordinary men with clothes to tear, right? And telling them, you know, "We're not gods. Don't worship us. We don't want you to worship us." But the tearing of clothes was also a traditional way of rebuking blasphemy. Amen? That was the real reason they tore their clothes, to say, "This is blasphemy. Don't worship us." Amen? And Paul and Barnabas would say, "Don't treat us like idols." They say, "Your God, the God you worship, and our God says we shall have no other idols before him." No other idols before him. Don't worship anyone, including us. Only the one true God. And in today's culture, there's a great tendency to make idols and celebrities out of leaders and people in the Christian communities as well, up to and including the Pope, of course, but I'm not going to elaborate on that, okay? Save that for another time. But Charles Spurgeon said, if you love anything better than God, you're an idolater. If there's anything you would not give up for God, that is your idol. If there's anything that you seek with greater fervor than you seek the glory of God, that is your idol. And conversion means a turning from every idol. right? Nothing should come before God. Nothing. Amen? If it does, that's your idol. We must not fall into this type of idol worship. And as leaders, we must also do everything we can to resist being recognized as celebrities and idols. A Christian leader, no matter how great they are, how big their church is, must never be lifted up to the status of idolatry or celebrity. Amen? Should never have more than one jet, right? All the glory should and must go to God in everything we accomplish in this life as believers. Amen? All glory to God. And Paul and Barnabas, they knew that. But there are some people today that still practice this type of idol worship, right? Some people still do. And it never turns out good, right? Especially when they claim to be God. Some even claim to be Jesus Christ himself. Amen? This is not only dangerous for the leader of that religion who's blaspheming God, but also for the people who are losing their souls participating in that kind of worship. Amen? It's not good. It is not good. Leaders in the church, just like everybody else, they have their own personal relationship with Christ. Amen? We don't have a special provision for us. Amen? We have to have that relationship too. We're the same as everyone else. We need forgiveness and mercy just like everybody else. Amen? Leaders in the church are not to be worshipped. Someone posted this the other day on Facebook, I think it was. They said, "Don't put your pastor on a pedestal where he can be knocked off. Put your pastor on a prayer list where he can be lifted up." Amen? Amen? And that goes for any leader in the church, right? Put them on a prayer list so they can be lifted up. A lot of times when I'm up here preaching to the choir, right, I'm also preaching to myself. Amen? I'm also preaching to myself. I heard Pastor David Guzik said, "I need to listen to my own sermons, right? I'm preaching to myself. I need to listen to my own sermons so I can be reminded too." And so Paul and Barnabas, they would resist this idol worshiping that was bestowed upon them with everything they had. Don't worship us. Please don't. Amen? And at the end of the verse 15, it says that he would tell them to turn from these worthless things of sacrifice and idol worship and turn to the living God who made everything. That was the point. Amen? Turn to the living God who made everything. This is a perfect example of how we should give our lives to Christ every day. Every day we should be giving our lives to Christ, repenting of our sins and turning from our sins to the living God. Everybody has to do that daily. Amen? We must repent of the sinful and useless things in our life and have the kingdom eyes and the faith to give it all to God every day, because we're all sinners every day. We got to give it to God daily. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said, "Sin and hell are married unless repentance proclaims the divorce." Amen? If we don't repent, there's no divorce, and sin and hell will be married. Amen? If you want forgiveness, we must repent. So think about that. What are the useless and sinful things in your life that you need to turn from? Amen? Think about that. The things that are blocking our relationship with the living God. Let us turn from those things every day, not by our power, amen, but by the power of Jesus Christ. That's how we turn. We don't rely on our own strength, amen. God gives us the strength. And in verse 16, it says, "In the past," talking about God, "he let all the nations go their own way." This verse is just talking about the sovereignty of God. Amen? It's talking about before Jesus came. Amen? He let everyone go their own way. This is talking about the sovereignty of God and how he had sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of everyone who repents and believes. But it also speaks to free will. Okay? Speaks to free will and how it's a choice that we all have to make. We all have to make that choice every day. Amen? Just like the thief on the cross had to make that choice, right? Just like the thief on the cross. John MacArthur said, The repentant thief on the cross is the clearest picture in Scripture of salvation coming to someone by grace through faith, apart from works. He didn't do anything. All he said was that he had the faith, right? And that he was going to be, and the Lord told him he would be in heaven with him on that day. Amen? All he had to do was have the faith. He didn't get baptized. He didn't get affirmed. He didn't get none of that, right? We got affirmed by the Lord himself, right? But he did. All he had to do was have the faith, and he would be saved. So it's our faith in Jesus that heals us, right? Not our works. It's our faith that heals us. And verse 17 says, yet he had not let himself without testimony. He had shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provided you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Talking about God. Amen? The things Paul had mentioned in this verse were the kind of things that these people thought their gods were bringing them. Right? That's what they thought. They thought their gods, they thought Zeus was bringing them these things. But Paul was saying these blessings actually come from the one true living God that is in heaven. Amen? Not from Zeus or any other false god, but from the one true living God. And then in verse 18, after they said all that, it says, even with all these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. They still wanted to sacrifice to him, right? Even after all that reasoning, they could not get them to stop their worship, their idol worship. So I guess maybe their fear of the false gods was greater than their faith of the living God. Amen? Their fear of these false gods was greater than the faith of the living. And that's why we're called to have not only faith in Jesus that heals us, right? But a fear of God. Amen? We're supposed to have a fear of God as well, right? Fear of God. Fear of the living God. And I think that's why we're called to have not only faith, but fear in everything we do. Amen? Fear of what God can do for us, right? In everything we do. And so this same fickle crowd, it says in verse 19, that some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. This same crowd that had been worshiping them as gods, right, was now going to turn against them. It was going to turn against them by crowds of Jews that were going to come from, it says, from Antioch. Pisidian Antioch was almost 150 miles away. They walked. They walked in sandals. 150 miles. That was a long journey to travel by foot to try and kill these apostles. Amen? Now just imagine the hate and the anger they had towards Paul and that gospel message. It was really disturbing their way of life. Amen? And they were going to walk 150 miles to go bring a crowd against them and try to kill them. Convince the people of that town. And so I guess sometimes it takes a lot more faith to not believe in Jesus than it does to just believe. Amen? We hear that a lot, right? It takes a lot more faith to not believe in Jesus than it does to believe. And the reason they could hate Jesus so much and with such passion is because the cross was challenging their worldview. Amen? They had a whole different worldview, and the cross was going to challenge that. And isn't that the reason that the world hates Jesus today? Right? Because it challenges the worldview, right? People don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told what... They want to keep on sinning. Sinning's fun, right? They want to keep on sinning, and misery loves company. They want to bring people with them, too. Amen? Bring them down with them. There are many people today that hate God, unfortunately, and even in our government. Amen? But they won't admit it. Just as the Jews in today's text, they promote a false narrative and they try to convince the crowds to join their hate and to join their destruction. And they disguise it as justice. Amen? It's disguised as justice. And but I guess some things never change. Amen? Some things never change. And so once they had convinced the crowds, it says in the rest of verse 19 and 20, it says, they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking that he was dead. Thinking he was dead. They thought he was dead, and so they should, right? People that are stoned to death are usually dead, right? I'd say probably like a 99% fatality rate. Not too many people just get up from being stoned to death, right? They thought he was dead, but it says in our last verse that, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back in the city. He just got up, right? Doesn't say he was dead. It doesn't say he came back to life. Doesn't say, it just says he got up, went back into the city. But notice it says disciples, right? After the disciples, plural, okay? There was more Christians now than just Paul and Barnabas, amen? They had received this message, and the church was growing. It says the disciples gathered around him, his supposed lifeless body, and what do you think they were doing as they gathered around him? They're praying for him, right? Doesn't say that, but and I'm not a betting man anymore, but if I was, I'd bet my next paycheck that they were praying for him, right? They were praying for him. And notice that Luke, who wrote this, he's a doctor, by the way, right? He doesn't say that Paul rose from the dead, but the church was praying for him. I'm pretty sure the church was praying for him. And the Lord could and had raised people from the dead. Amen? And you'll see later that Paul writes in 2 Timothy that the Lord had delivered him at Antioch, speaking of this miraculous healing. Amen? That the Lord had delivered him at Antioch. And of course, with God, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. He would not only get up, but he was so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that when he got up, he ran right back into the city that was trying to kill him. Right? Talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? He had been run off from Antioch, and he had been run off from Iconium, but this time, Paul was going to leave on his own terms. And the Holy Spirit was going to give him the power to do that. Amen? He was going to go right back into the city to try to kill him. The Holy Spirit had given him the will and the courage to complete his task for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will do the same thing for us. Amen? The same thing for us. There are times when we get run off in our ministry work, but the Lord gives us the strength to endure. Right? This is Chicken Park. You guys know Chicken Park? Everybody know Chicken Park? This is a scene from Chicken Park here. I remember when the homeless population started to get real bad on the west side of Phoenix, or the west side of the valley, even before COVID, okay? And we had tried to get permits in several cities to serve food to the homeless. And we were just denied over and over again. They didn't want to let us do it. We had to have all these different licenses. They just kept denying us over and over. But the Holy Spirit continued to drive many of these homeless outreach ministries to not give up. Amen? To keep trying and to not give up and to press on in their mission for Christ. And today you can see these ministries working. Amen? In many parks all over the valley on any given day of the week. The Lord made a way where there was no way. Amen? A shout out to the ministry we work with, Bags of Love, amen, for what they do every week, serving the homeless. You see, the Holy Spirit will give us, okay, just as it gave the disciples in Lystra, the will and the courage to endure. They'll give us the will and courage to endure. So don't give up, amen? Don't give up on any ministry that you may be involved with, even if it's just coming to church. Don't give up, amen? Don't give up when the devil tries to stop you either. Amen? When we're doing right, the devil's going to come along and he's going to try to stop us. Amen? Don't give up. And why? Let's say this together, okay? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Amen? And then the rest of verse 20 says, the next day, him and Barnabas left for Derbe. They were ready, right? They left for Derbe. They were not going to stop or let anyone deter them from their mission for Christ. Even death threats weren't going to stop them. right? Even death threats. And that's because they were looking at the world and its threats with kingdom eyes. They weren't thinking about their health or their safety. They were thinking about the kingdom of God and how many people needed to be saved. Amen? They had an agenda, and their agenda was to save souls. That should be all of our agendas, to save souls. And so, as the body of Christ, you know, let us all live with that same agenda. Amen? To bring others closer to the saving grace of Christ and to always look at this world, no matter how dark it gets, with kingdom eyes. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give us when we're too weak to carry on, Father God. For directing our steps as we choose our path. For using us in a mighty way to deliver your word, your promise. Father God, we just ask for forgiveness daily, Lord. We repent daily and ask you to strengthen us and forgive us and to provide for us. And we thank you that you love us, that you call us your children. Lord, I lift up Amazing Grace in all of our family here and pray that you use us all in a mighty way, Father God. Provide in a mighty way and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.